Wasabi Wallet. Unfairly private.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to the show. I think some of you might have been following over here from the Swan Lounge, which just wrapped up. It's been a full day. I was on Adam Meister's show this morning, chatting this week in Bitcoin, Swan Lounge. And now here we are on the channel with all of you. There's damn near already 100 people in here. Thank you so much for joining me on a beautiful Friday for a new episode of Why Are We Bullish? On this show, we go by the three R's. We give a reason why we're bullish. We riff on that reason, and then we rotate. Very simple. I've got a stacked panel today. We got the guys from Simply Bitcoin. We got Coin Icarus, and we got Nico or Bitvolt. We got Brandon Quittam, and we've got the maker of BitPiggies, the legend himself, Fartface 2000, is joining us today. Very excited for it all. As always, this is live. Anything can happen. So a quick disclaimer from my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live. Okay. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Make sure you are smashing that like button. Give this a share. Let's get a ton more eyeballs in here and have a good Friday all together. As always, I am Ben with the BTC Sessions, and this is your daily session.
Hodl the Bitcoin.
A little flustered today. I'm kind of all over the map. So many shows, but let's get ourselves going here. First of all, let's take a look at the market and where we're at before we bring in our guests. Over here on the bitbo.io dashboard, which if you're not on that thing, you got to check it out. It's awesome. $49,230 per Bitcoin for a single US dollar. You can pick yourself up 2,031 sats. I would consider that still on sale. You might want to stack those while you can. 88.79% of all Bitcoin have been mined. And in terms of fees, next block, they're up a little bit from last show. 106 sats per byte for the next block. But if you're willing to wait an hour, around 52 sats per byte should do ya. Now, before we bring in our panel, of course, quick shout out to sponsors of the show. Lendon.io. You can use your Bitcoin here for a variety of different services. They've saved my butt a couple of times when I needed dollars and I didn't want to sell my Bitcoin because that's a taxable event and I was worried about having to buy back in at a higher price. Here I was able to park some Bitcoin, get dollars in my bank within 24 hours. And when I paid back those dollars, I was able to get back the same amount of Bitcoin. Of course, they still do have their Bitcoin and USDC savings account, interest rates of up to 12.5% annually paid monthly, and their B2X offering for you bulls out there will instantly buy you more Bitcoin using the same loan mechanism. Check them out. Links below. If you click that link and opt to get a loan, they'll give you $25 for free into your savings. Up next, Kobo Vault. Love this thing. Been using it a bunch lately. I just did a video on Sparrow Wallet on desktop. Allows you to set up some badass multi-sig solutions. And I used Kobo as one of the options there. Anyways, love this thing because it's fully air-gapped. That means it's totally offline. You don't plug it into anything internet connected. It's all done via QR code. And that keeps the keys to your money safe and offline. You know, it's got a secure element. Bitcoin only firmware, which I recommend using, and all around great experience. Check them out. Links below. I'm using the Pro for reference. Now, I do also live on Bitcoin. Unfortunately, I do have to spend some Bitcoin from time to time. But hey, if you want to treat yourself, you can head over to BitRefill. This is what I use regularly to get any gift cards for just about anything I need. And super easy to use. They accept main chain and Lightning payments. And you actually do earn sats back while you are shopping. So be sure to check them out. And finally, don't become a victim like I've spoken to in the past weeks, especially with the bull run. People are realizing their backups were just no good. They're damaged or lost because they're on paper. Get it on steel. Don't fuck this up. It's very important that you have a good backup, and the Bilfoddle is pretty badass. You can get your seed phrase in steel and keep it safe. Check it out over on privacypros.io. Let's kill this screen and let's bring in our guests. We got Coin Icarus, we got Fartface 2000, we got Brandon Quittam, and we've got Nico, aka Bitvolt. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. How are you all doing?
What's up? Doing
Happy
good.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. I'm excited to have you guys. We have a couple noobs to the show that have never been on Why Are We Bullish? And then we have returning Nico and Phil here. Brandon, Farface, glad to have you guys on for the first time ever. This is a really chill. It's just like a nice ending of the week, a good way to get together and chat about what has us excited or why we're bullish on Bitcoin. So I'm going to get us rolling here. I'll get us rolling on a topic. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And this, I feel bad saying that this is making me bullish, but what it's really doing is it's further showing the world why Bitcoin exists. And something that really stuck out to me this week was Lebanon. And so Lebanon was in the news because their currency is just being debased so badly. It went to a point where a single US dollar is at one point over 10,000 Lebanese pounds. And that's basically been devalued like 90% over the past couple of years. It's been pretty rough for them. And the scary thing about it too is that there's an official national exchange rate. And so if you're going into Lebanon and you're trying to exchange US dollars, they'll only give you around 1,500 Lebanese pounds. And the real exchange rate, or what they call the dark market or the black market exchange rate, is almost 10 times that. And so these people, their money is constantly becoming worthless. There's riots in the street over this. It's not the first time, but it is showing the world why, first and foremost, why Bitcoin exists. The thing that worries me about it is that many people see stuff like this on the news and they think, well, that's there. That's not here. It's not going to happen here. It's happening somewhere else. It's always somewhere else until it's not. And all fiat currencies are on the same pathway. They're just moving at different speeds. And so while I do feel bad saying that this in a way makes me bullish on Bitcoin, being bullish on Bitcoin isn't always all roses, right? It comes with the bad. If people weren't getting hurt by this stuff, there would be no need for Bitcoin. So in a roundabout way, while I feel bad, this is, you know, Bitcoiners have real things to point to say this is why this exists in the first place. So I guess I'll pass it down the line here. Phil, did you see any of this stuff about Lebanon? And what are your thoughts in general as to this kind of stuff happening, the frequency of it? Do you think we'll see more of it?
I didn't actually see anything about Lebanon, but I really do think that, you know, of course, to your point, though, it's a double-edged sword, right? We are unfortunately, you know, due to the current state of the way that money has essentially been issued, right, throughout the world, because let's be honest, the majority of the world runs under the rule of central bankers, whether it's indirect or not, but it is, you know, but it is happening. So as a result, you know, we have to eventually pay the piper, and that's exactly what's happening. And Bitcoin, you know, Bitcoin is that reckoning, right? It makes it so that we can't ignore what's happening anymore. Before we were able to ignore it because we didn't have this, this metric, or this kind of like, I guess, you know, this black mirror. And now that we do, you can't ignore it. So,
yeah, 100%. Unfortunate, but it just further drives home the point of why Bitcoin's here. I'll pass it down the line here, Fartface. What are you feeling on this? First of all, did you see the news? And what do you think about the? Do you think we're going to be seeing more of this in the near future from other places in the world?
I didn't see the recent news, but I know that Lebanon has monetary problems. And as far as like the way you presented it, like you don't want to feel bullish about it. It's actually a good thing. I mean, these people actually have an option. So you got to be happy for them that there's actually an option for them other than just staying there and being a victim. I'm recently listening to When Money Dies. When you listen to that book, those people had no option and they didn't have the history to reflect back to see what happens when, you know, your country just has to debase the currency. So I mean, I'm bullish because these people now have an option, a lot of, you know, viable option that they could resort to.
Yeah. Yeah. It is nice that they have that off ramp. Nico, do you have some thoughts on this?
Yeah, man, it's just it's another example of a country where the country experiences hyperinflation. Venezuela followed the same path. The government tried to do the same thing. They tried to artificially, you know, prop up the value of their currency and created this whole black market rate, which was significantly cheaper than the official rate. So it's the same pattern. You know, it's the same debt cycle. And unfortunately, this is what the Lebanese fiat currency is going to. This is what every single fiat currency is going to inevitably lead to. But one thing that has me a little worried, right, is that in third world countries, you know, in Venezuela, my home country, and Lebanon, if you explain to someone what is Bitcoin, they understand it in a second. They say a currency that's not controlled by the government. I get that. I understand that. But in the West, which looks like it's about to experience some type of inflation, right, for the first time, no one understands what the hell that feels like, right? So if you explain Bitcoin to people in the West, what the thing that I see first is indifference. Like, they don't care, you know, because they're so used to being in this stable currency, they don't understand that that's not going to last forever, right? So yeah, man, it's unfortunate for the people of Lebanon, but they're super lucky because they got the orange pill, baby.
let's kick it down the line to Brandon. What do you feel about not only the situation in Lebanon, but what we've seen out of other countries around the globe with similar situations?
Yeah, totally. First off, it's devastating anytime you see normal people sort of locked into their nation state and suffering the consequences of what their government or central banks do. And pre-Bitcoin, there's just absolutely no way around this. And most of you guys have mentioned this, but luckily now we do have this escape valve or life raft, as it's been said. And looking to the future, I think we're going to see the financial system continue to break down like this. All of the, you know, the IMFs, the World Banks, the UNs, all those type of national or global organizations, they're all telling us this. You can see it in the markets, you can see it in the messaging. And so it's going to continue. And luckily, we do have this escape route. However, I think what I fear here is that the states will look for a way, sort of a scapegoat, something to blame the issue on. And I worry that Bitcoin will be blamed for destroying these currencies. I'm sure it will be called terrorist money as some states bail themselves out or get around sanctions, things like that. And so I would just say that fiat currencies fail on their own. They've been doing it since the beginning of time. Bitcoin's not causing it. Bitcoin is just simply saving the people who recognize this as a solution. And so, yeah, I think it's our job to sort of make sure we're beating the drum on Bitcoin as a freedom tool, as a way out. And the whole world's paying attention. We're all sort of activated politically. Our eyes are more open than they've ever been in the last decade, starting from COVID. And so I think it's kind of our duty to make sure Bitcoin's in the right light here. And you know, you're seeing this with the intellectuals all day long, where they say Bitcoin is nerd money or a libertarian's dream or all this stuff. And those are coming from, you know, wealthy white males or journalist class in the United States. And it kind of exposes, it's kind of paradoxical. They want to attack Bitcoiners for doing this, when at the same time, they don't even know what they're talking about. And they're missing the fact that Bitcoin is a tool for freedom today all over the world. And we have great data to back this. Anytime these currencies collapse, we see massive rise in peer-to-peer usage of the Bitcoin network in those countries. Nigeria comes to mind. And so, yeah, that's my thoughts.
Bitcoin is freedom money. I do like that. I think that's a great slogan for it. And yeah, to your point about Nigeria, like they full on, you know, leaders of the country full on came out and said Bitcoin has made our currency worthless. And no, you've made your own currency worthless. It's just with the backdrop of Bitcoin, it's blatantly obvious. And that's the realization that many of these heads of states will not come to, because it's in their best interest not to recognize it. So guys, there's 100 people watching live. Smash that like button. Give this a share. That really helps get more eyeballs in here and helps the show. We're going to move on to our next reason for being bullish. And right beside me is Phil. Phil, what has you feeling bullish this week?
Well, you know what? This is probably going to go on the on the trail of what Brandon was saying. But what's making me bullish is the FUD. I mean, Bitcoin's been going on for, over 10 years now, going strong, and the FUD just really hasn't evolved, hasn't gotten any better. They really have absolutely nothing. So yeah, I'm totally bullish on the FUD.
what's been your favorite FUD as of late? That's just to see it again. Have you had a favorite piece or a topic?
Oh, okay. Yes. Actually, recently I saw a couple things. I saw Bitcoin was a Ponzi scheme. That was a good one. I like that. And, it was likened somehow to the tech bubble, something like that. There was that. And there was also, I enjoyed the Janet Yellen FUD from last week, about how Bitcoin facilitates, nefarious behavior when everybody knows the US dollar is the most widely used currency, for nefarious behavior. So yeah, great.
Dude, go ahead.
Yeah, dude, it was so funny because when Yellen said Bitcoin was inefficient, the next day the Federal Reserve System just broke down. Stopped working, dude. It was like, oh my God. It was cosmic justice, I guess.
Yeah. Did anybody see the mayor of Miami, Francis Suarez? He got asked about Yellen saying that it's inefficient and all this stuff. And his response was, it doesn't surprise me that a Treasury secretary would deem a competing currency as a threat. I thought it was a great response. Just short, concise. Well, I mean, obviously it's a threat to them. So Fartface, what are you feeling about the FUD? Anything that you've seen lately that you found particularly ridiculous? Any topics or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like with Phil. I mean, it's the same repeated arguments over and over. And personally, as for myself, I mean, I've went through every argument myself. I've went through that process, I went through this argument, I went through this argument, I went through this argument, and I'm at a point where, personally, I'm not going to bring that back up to the surface and go through the same argument anymore. I'm beyond that, and it's like, it only holds you back, If you could fast forward to future and know that everything you think right now is going to happen, that's the mindset that you want right now as far as what is going to be at your greatest advantage when you get to that point. If you live in fear, uncertainty, and doubt and let that make you, steer your decisions, yeah, you when we get there, you're going to get there, but you're going to miss out on all the fun in between. You know what I mean? Once you pull that trigger and you've said, you know what? I've examined every argument out there, the energy argument, the criminal argument, whatever it might be. Once you get that resolve and you've worked on your conviction and you get beyond it, man, you're just stacking every day and you're not even thinking about it because you know where we're going.
Yeah. You kind of get this litmus test of like, you stack up all of these things. Like you said, you've already kind of gone through them. There's no need to readdress them. Like you can see right off the bat, because people are going to come at you with their best argument, what they think is their best argument. And when their best argument is something you heard in 2014 that's been debunked 1,000 times over, it's easy to just dismiss. It's a little annoying, but
DMing me on Twitter and asking me my opinion on it, I'll relive it with them. I'll go through my thought process, all the different things I checked off. But if it's somebody who's been like a Peter Schiff or somebody like that, who's just, just saying the same shit over and over to the new crowd that's coming in that we're trying to educate, I'm not even going to respond to him. But if somebody has the question, I'll help them out.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And again, like the noobs, they don't, obviously they're going to have to figure some of this stuff out. Nico, is there, Where do you point people for some of this FUD when maybe it's a newbie friend and they say, oh, I have these concerns? Are there certain places that you point them to when it comes to helping with these topics?
There's so much good material on YouTube that addresses, you know, a lot of these misconceptions that people have because of the mainstream propaganda machine. And man, it's just the difficult part that I run into is I guess getting people to find interest in wanting to understand what is truth versus what is not true, right? Because essentially what the mainstream media takes advantage of is people are not interested in wanting to learn the truth, right? So unfortunately, that's kind of like what I guess Bitcoin Twitter really plays a role with. I guess that's what YouTube plays a role with. But the hardest part, I guess, is getting people over that first bump. Because, you know, we all have friends that you've been telling about Bitcoin for countless years now, and they just, you know, they don't pay attention. They only pay attention when the price rises. And when the price rises, they'll start to focus on those mainstream media, you know, points. And then they'll ask you the same question over and over again. So it's getting people over that first hump. And unfortunately, in my experience, that is like one of the hardest things that you could do.
Oh, all right.
Sorry, guys. You can hear me, but I can't hear you right now. But Brandon, take it away if you have more thoughts on this.
Yeah, definitely. So first point is regarding Mayor Suarez in Miami. The cool thing about this to me is that we're seeing states and cities sort of push back against the central government and say, you know, we don't agree with what you're saying. We're going to do it a little bit differently, and we can. And I think this is a really powerful thing. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this. Wyoming is doing a great job. Austin's doing a great job recruiting people. And the way I see this long term is essentially these cities, these states and countries will be competing for their customers. And, when, you know, that's really, really, really good, because when they compete, we win, right? Like, what am I getting for my money in Miami? What am I getting for my money in Austin? And without a competition, we see complacency, we see monopolies, we see the big guy take advantage of his constituents. So that makes me very bullish. If I was a central banker and I was in DC, I would not be so pumped about that, but that's where we're going. With regards to FUD, I guess I see this as kind of a natural thing. And what I'm seeing right now is our FUD's upgrading. Right, we don't see Bitcoin's a scam or a bubble as much. No credible people say that anymore. And I think the main reason is because Bitcoin's been de-risked by high status people who essentially say Bitcoin's okay. And that just signals to the normies that they can change their mind. And so I think that's a positive thing. Tether FUD was strong and now it's quiet, right? That one's gone. And now everyone switched to environmental FUD. I think this is actually a really hard one. Because two things. One, young people really care about this, and I believe that's for good reason. And at the same time, it's extremely hard to understand. Climate in general is hard to understand. And so combine that with Bitcoin's proof of work and then all the nuances there, like Nick Carter published his third article on it, and I still don't think it's going to make a dent in the FUD. And so, yeah, I think that's going to be a hard one to get over. And I foresee future FUD as the United States continues to sort of crumble financially, is Bitcoin will be pitched as this thing that's not patriotic, or come on, we need to rally together in this hard time. We all have to make sacrifices to get through it. And the Bitcoiners are financial terrorists. And so I foresee that coming. Obviously, that's absolutely not true. I think Bitcoin's deeply American, like upon the values upon which the country was founded, things like decentralized power, strong property rights, market-based economy, et cetera. And luckily, we do have a fifth pillar in the U.S. government right now who are pitching these things, right? Cynthia Loomis, senator from Wyoming, is blowing my mind regularly. She was just chirping at the Fed for printing money. She put money printer go burr today or yesterday. And so, yeah, the fifth pillar is growing. And as Bitcoiner, if the price continues, Bitcoiner is going to have a lot of money, which means a lot of influence. And who's going to be voted into power? Who's going to be influencing elections? The people with money. And so kind of a strange thing, but I'm optimistic about it.
Yeah. I mean, the game theory kind of plays out, right? People are going to want to insulate themselves from the practices of the Fed. Everybody outside of that system who can't be, who isn't directly benefited by it, which by definition would be the majority of people. So it's just going to be this transfer of wealth. The once the initial transfer of wealth is done, when we move away from the old system and to the new, then it becomes, you know, if you're wealthy, it's because you've then created the only way that you can get more Bitcoin, because having Bitcoin doesn't guarantee you more of it. The only way that you can build your Bitcoin position is by creating goods and services that are, that people deem worthy enough to part with their sats. Right. And so it becomes that you have to contribute, you have to build something in order to become wealthy, instead of just benefiting from suckling at the teat of the Fed. Now, I did want to bring up something really quick here. Howard, thank you for popping in. Holy shit. He just dropped a Hunsky in the super chat there, but I figured it's worth if we just do a quick down the line of resources for him. So he said, I'm a Bitcoin noob. I want to know the truth. Where do I go to find the truth and learn more about Bitcoin? Thanks. Now, of course, nobody can tell you, quote unquote, the truth. I think that's something for yourself. Some good resources as far as books that I found particularly great were The Price of Tomorrow by Jeff Booth. I also really liked The Sovereign Individual. I think that's a great one. It's a dense read, but it's well worth it. You know, The Bitcoin Standard is kind of a staple for the space. And there's a really good one by a Canadian author called Magic Internet Money by Jesse Berger. So I would check out some of those. Maybe just quick down the line, if you guys have like a favorite book or video or something, you can shout it out. So Phil, do you got anything that you really like?
Yeah, I mean, you named a lot of them right there, but I also want to add 21 Lessons as yes. well.
By Gigi, lessons. Yes.
Yeah, by Gigi.
Yeah. How about you, Farface? What do you got? Anything that you really like?
I just got the Jesse Berger book. I didn't read it yet, but up until this point, the two best I've read is Andy Edstrom's Why Invest in Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. That really lays it down pretty good. And then the other one that I really was surprised was Don't Fuck with Hard Money or something like that. Or It's Hard Fucking Money. Yes,
by Jason.
Very good book, man. Really good book.
Yeah, it's the only Bitcoin book with an F-bomb in the title. You can find it on Amazon. Nico, what do you got?
Man, I'm just going to recommend exactly what really, really orange-pilled me the most. And I would watch these lectures on repeat till like 3 a.m. for like 6 months. The Andreas Antonopoulos lectures on Bitcoin. He kind of went on the shitcoin path as of late, but his Bitcoin lectures are phenomenal. Right. And they're incredible, and they kind of make you understand where Bitcoin fits in the world in a conceptual basis. And those really helped me out. And of course, all the reading material that these guys recommended is also phenomenal. But if you want to just watch a video, definitely go check out the Andreas lectures. They're really good.
Yeah, especially with the early ones where he's talking to like an empty room.
There's exactly
like five or 10 people in there, and he's like, I don't care, I'm going to do this. Brandon, do you have any recommendations, good places to go for Howard here?
Yeah, definitely. So to continue on the Andreas thread, I would actually read The Internet of Money, volumes 1 and 2. Those were very instrumental in my understanding of switching from blockchain everything to why is Bitcoin important. And he really does give you like the political case, the why it matters. And I think that's really important for most people, especially if you don't have a Austrian economics background. Another book would be Inventing Bitcoin by Jan Pritzker. Yeah. And that's sort of like that's how Bitcoin works. It's slightly more technical, but it's really easy to follow. And so if you want to understand the system of Bitcoin, I think that's great. And the Swan guys where I work give it away for free because Jan works for Swan. So if you go to swanbitcoin.com/freebook, you can download the PDF, ebook, or audiobook for free. And then if you're on Twitter, those are like, you know, do the research, do your homework. If you want to keep up with the day-to-day conversation, I definitely recommend Twitter. And on Twitter, you know, who do I follow? That's hard. Hive.one aggregates the quote best Bitcoin handles. Mm-hmm. Just follow the top 300 people on there or something like that. And that gives you a good taste of what the people are talking about. Looks like someone commented Fourth Turning. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that book. I would say definitely read it if you're into, you know, big macro lenses to view the world. It's sort of looking at generational theory. And I wrote a long essay on that on my website, brandonquidham.com. It's called Bitcoin and the Rhythms of History. Sort of use that lens. And then, okay, what does the future look like in a Bitcoin world?
Yeah, I did really like that. And I liked the pod you did. I think you're on with Peter McCormick and you chatted about it. It was a great, great talk. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Cool. Let's keep it rolling. We got 125 people watching live. Smash that like button. Give this a share. Let's get even more eyeballs in here. Thank you for the continued comments, people suggesting stuff for Howard, all that stuff. Great stuff going on. We're going to move on to our next reason for being bullish, and we're going to Fartface 2000 for his take. Dude, what's got you feeling bullish this week?
So when you ask me to answer that question, I come up with like five things.
And perfect. You just say whatever is making you the most bullish and we'll run with it. Whatever you want.
I actually put down a list, you know, did a list for myself. And then the most bullish reason for me is, what are you going to do with your excess income? What are you going to do with your cash in today's economy right now, presented with all the other options that you have? If you get a bonus, or if you're saving money, I mean, whatever. How are you going to put it to work? You know you have to put it to work because it's going to be debased from right underneath you. It always has been. It always will be. All the facts are looking like it's going to be debased at a faster rate in the future. So you have to put your money to work someplace. And when you run down the list of what your options are, right? So we talked about USD. That's not a viable option to store your productive capacity or your excess productive capacity. Stocks have been good, but will they be good in the future? And we know the multiples right now are historically higher than they've ever been. So, I mean, how much money are you feel safe parking in stocks, and which companies are you going to pick? And then you got to worry about the performance of the CEO and the people that work for that company. You know, I've worked for big businesses. The people don't take it home with them, right? I mean, they go for a paycheck, they put in their time, and that's basically it. That's most people, not everybody. There are people out there, type A, you know. Bonds, you're not putting your money in bonds. There's no money to be made. And if they raise rates, you're going to lose par value. And that's not even a viable option for any. I mean, I'm talking normal people. I'm not talking, you know, hedge fund investors or anybody like that. You could put your money in gold, but you're taking it in the ass compared to Bitcoin, right? I mean, historically, since Bitcoin's come on, you're taking it in the ass. And since August, you're really taking it in the ass. So you're not putting your money in there. And I mean, 99% of the people out there right now don't even have exposure to this asset class. And it's just, you know, it's bouncing around close to a trillion now. So it's getting to the point where it's becoming a serious asset, and you have serious people who are associating themselves with it. So, I mean, that's why I'm bullish. I mean, if you think at the end of the day, I just got my year-end bonus. Where the hell do I put it? If you just go down the facts of the options you have, I mean, you have to put it in Bitcoin one way or another. I mean, that's the best solution, in my opinion.
It's like all the runoff is just leading towards Bitcoin. It's like you're right. When you look at the state of the economy, when you look at the options out there, it's just kind of a big question mark for almost everything, in my opinion, except Bitcoin. Like, Nico, how do you feel around this kind of thing? Like, are you at a bit of a loss? Like, are you every time you put money? I don't know if you put money elsewhere, but are you looking at it going, like this seems risky? Other things seem riskier than Bitcoin?
Dude, I have been completely all in, except for, you know, my business where I have to keep fiat, but I've been completely in Bitcoin since 2016 and I have never looked back. And any single person, like a friend of mine, I try to orange pill to do the same, and they always thank me after. If I find out they have gold, if I find out they have a lot of stock, I'm just like, bro, you're going to stay poor. You're an idiot. Why are you keeping that? Like, do you understand what's happening right now? And they'll be like, no, but I really like this company. And I'm like, and I sit them down. I'm like, listen, man, listen. Do you really think it's going to be Bitcoin? And they're like, I don't know. The ones that do it, phenomenal. They're super happy. They're doing great. The ones that don't do it, you know, they still don't believe me. They still think Bitcoin is bullshit. So, man, yeah, it is definitely strange.
Yeah. How about you, Brandon? Like, when you kind of objectively look at the state of everything right now, and you see corporations starting to put small allocations into Bitcoin, you know, outside of MicroStrategy, because he's just balls deep in this stuff. But, you know, what's your reaction? Are you thinking like, well, yeah, of course, like given the macroeconomic situation we're in, that makes sense. Like, what's your perspective here?
Yeah, I think a couple of things. So one, everything changed about a year ago, right? And normal people are starting to realize that it doesn't feel right. Even if they can't put their finger on the exact issues in our financial system, they do see the stock market at all-time high. They see their small businesses being destroyed. They see unemployment. They see long lines to find food. And so it's pretty obvious that something's gone wrong. And if you do have money to invest, you ask yourself, okay, now where am I supposed to park my money? And Farfetch covered the downfalls of all the traditional ways that you would hedge in this environment. And they're just not looking so great. And so I guess the question I always use here is what changed since 2017 in Bitcoin? Almost nothing. But the whole entire world around Bitcoin has changed dramatically. And that changes everything. And so, you know, the common phrase from GigaChad, all your models are destroyed, that applies here. If you're a fiat economist and you're trying to figure out this thing and you're telling us why it can't work, or if you're a financial advisor saying it's too volatile or any of this other nonsense, your models are destroyed. And so if you're listening to this and you still have a financial advisor telling you to stay in a 60-40 portfolio or some other nonsense, or tells you GBTC is too risky, fire him. Call him today and tell him you want to move your money into Bitcoin. And if he doesn't do it immediately, fire him. We did that with my wife's financial advisor. And that's the reality. And so the market's telling us all these different signals, right? You were seeing corporations buy. We're seeing tier one institutions making allocations to Bitcoin. Mass Mutual, BNY, like these are not small, the richest man in the world in Tesla, right? And also the 2017 bull run, if we compare the gains from bottom to top to where we are now in 2021, we're actually ahead of the 2017 bull run. And that's surprising because Bitcoin's so much larger and needs so much more capital to push it around. And so again, all the signals are showing us that the world needs Bitcoin. And so to me, it's not surprising, but to the average person, they're grappling with this thing and they'll slowly realize, they'll shoot a few shots from the hip on Twitter and they'll be humbled and eventually figure out what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny because Bitcoin kind of, while being volatile in dollar terms, in terms of how it functions, like you said, not much has changed in Bitcoin since 2017. And it kind of, it becomes this rock. It becomes this kind of mecca of stability in the middle of the insanity that is central bank money printing and mass lockdowns and economies that are just destroyed by all of this. Phil, I don't know if you want to add anything here regarding this, but you know, it does kind of become this point of stability and assurance of, hey, this is at least a system that will do what it says it's going to do.
I actually just wanted to touch back on something that Fartface2K said, you know, about what, you know, what are you going to do and where are you going to put your money? So, you know, unless you're willing to spend, you know, a couple of hours every night after your job researching different stocks, you know, equities, because equities, right, offer the best return, I'd say, to the retail and, you know, to a retail investor. And you know, the reality is that you have to do this research every night, and you're only going to be able to hold a basket of stocks, right? Realistically, you're going to be able to hold approximately 5 stocks where you can do adequate research, right? And to actually have enough conviction, you know, that what you're doing is correct. And you may or may not, you know, be correct about what you're doing. And of course, the companies are run by people, boards of directors, diluting shares, you know, doing whatever it is that they do. And you have to hope to God that you choose the right companies. But, you know, otherwise you'll end up getting in, you know, what'll end up happening is that you'll get scared off from that. You'll go with a financial advisor, which will put you into some grouping of portfolios A, B, or C, depending on your risk tolerance. Or if you decide you don't want to pay somebody to do nothing for you, you decide that you're going to just buy into the S&P, right? And just be safe. You know, at the end of the day, the S&P, what, gives you an average of like, is it like 7 to 12% annual, depending on what happens? I'm not exactly sure. You know, at the same time, with that 7 to 12%, that's not real because of the inflation and because of the cost of living expenses and whatnot. Look, at the end of the day, it's absolutely frightening what happens to the retail investor. So for me, I'd rather invest a lot of my time researching about one particular hybrid asset, right, that does much more, you know, than just be a stock, right? Because let's face it, I can't trade stocks with you. You can't do anything with it. You know, people say that you can't do anything with Bitcoin. I object, because people are willing to accept Bitcoin, and I am willing to send it and accept it. So now all of a sudden, we've got a medium of exchange, which is way better than any frickin' equity. So, yeah, that's my rant on that.
I love it. Yeah, it's, again, in the current environment, I just can't imagine, like, it pains me to think of putting money elsewhere right now. Like, this is such a unique point in history, and I can't imagine not being part of it as much as I possibly can muster. So, yeah, excellent point, Farface. Let's keep going here. Guys, there's 150 people watching live. Smash that like button. Give this a share. Let's get even more people in here. Help us finish our Friday with a bang. We're going to move on to our next reason for being bullish. Let's go to Nico. Dude, what has you feeling bullish this week?
Man, I feel like, you know, the more the bull market progresses, the question should be, why are you not bullish? You know, because there's so many freaking reasons. You know, I'm just going to name them off the top of my head. You got Yale, you have Harvard, you have MassMutual, you have MicroStrategy, you have Tesla, you have Square. You have PayPal announcing that, you know, they're starting Bitcoin, even though they don't allow withdrawals, but that's still huge. They're a huge company. Man, look, there's something different about this bull run that I know everyone feels, but not that many people could quite understand what's coming. To use Ross Stevens' own words, there's a wall of money coming, and you know, and the rumors that Coinbase is already custodying 5 corporations on the Fortune 500 companies list that have Bitcoin, man, it's just the writing's on the wall. You know, it's self-explanatory at this point. I have no idea how Peter Schiff is like considered like mentally sane. There must be something wrong with that guy. And it's unfortunate because everyone tries to explain it to him and he just. But man, it's freaking obvious, and perhaps that's because we're all orange pilled, man. But this bull run is going to blow everyone's expectations based on everything that's happening as of late.
I love that. It's so bullish. It's perfect. It's perfect for this show, Brandon. Do you echo Nico here? Like, does this feel? Does this feel larger than 2017? Like you were alluding to that earlier in terms of kind of trajectory that we're on so far, it seems quicker. Like what things are catching your eye, and do you think that they will contribute to, you know, blowing through even some of the pie in the sky expectations of some people this year?
Yeah. So first off, on the trying to like say how high it's going to go, if we do have another similar cycle where we have a blow off top and a significant retracement, trying to predict that high number, like what will the last trade be before we come back down, is really hard. It gets super illiquid. It could be like, you know, 48 hours above 500K and then we drop back to 200 or 150 or something like that. And so I don't really want to put a number on the top, but I do think that structurally the market has changed. There are large buyers who actually need it. And the big difference here is that Bitcoin's becoming a must-own asset. It's no longer this like, take a risk, don't tell anyone, you're shy, do it with your personal account. It's like you have to own it now. And due to game theory, anytime your competitor moves in, it sort of forces your hand. And I think one interesting element that we haven't touched on much is the fixed income folks. So like MassMutual, for example, it's an insurance company. They need to have returns in their investments in order to pay out future insurance claims. And most of how they do that is through, you know, traditional investments, obviously. But there's really no real yields for those type of investors. And so what are they going to do? Go bankrupt because they can't pay their insurance claims in the future? Or are they going to buy Bitcoin? Even a tiny percentage might be all they need to keep their business going.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the thesis. And the fact that MassMutual has taken that stance, what does it do? It forces all the other insurance companies to make a similar allocation. And that same kind of prisoner's dilemma, game of chicken, whatever you want to call it, that's happening out at every level. It happens at the billionaires who are jealous because someone else got in before them. You know, all the family offices anecdotally are allocating 1 to 5 million on average. And so it's just this mimetic game of humans doing human things playing out, and it's being expressed in the Bitcoin price. And so when people say that Bitcoin is just a meme coin or something, like the ETH maximalists think that they're slighting Bitcoin by saying this. But the reality is, yes, Bitcoin is mimetic, but they don't understand how powerful that is and what that actually means, right? It is the shelling point for humanity storing value. And that's not something to make fun of. It's kind of preordained based on human nature and the conditions we're in. And I know that sounds crazy, but if you put the pieces together, I can't come up with any other conclusion than that.
I love that Bitcoin is such a meme culture. And I love even more than that, the pushback that all of these traditional folks have to it. Like they can't wrap their head around something being worth $50,000. And there's a meme that people all have laser eyes. Like they can't grok that. They're looking at it being like, this is so fucking stupid. I'm mad. I'm angry that these people are doing well because they're silly and I don't like it and I don't have fun. Stop having fun. Phil, what do you think? Like meme culture, is that catapulting us throughout this bull run? Is it going to be meme culture that is largely the culprit and catches the eyes, ears, hearts of everybody?
Yeah, I, you know, when it comes to the memes, you know, like to be able to look at an image and all of a sudden feel goosebumps, you know, or just totally break out in laughter. I mean, there's very few things that do that, you know, I mean, besides, I think, like music or a really powerful speech. So when you think about that and you think about Bitcoin and how the memes for it are just so epic. And they just really ring true. And the reason why they ring true is because, you know, human beings really at the end of the day, you know, we're all very much the same, right? You know, we're all special. So nobody's special, you know? So it's, and as a result of that, you know, these things that ring true with one person will at a core level usually ring true with a large group of people. And that's what Bitcoin does. You know, so I think that when you throw that in with the meme culture and you put in these, I mean, like you shout out to the meme lords for just absolutely killing it. You know, these guys are always thinking up new ways of, you know, just making us laugh and making us think. So, yeah, I think it's totally intertwined.
Yeah, 100%. I love it. Fartface, I'll get your take on this, too. How do you think the memes kind of play into this? And how does that affect, like, if you had to guess, how does that affect people that are running companies and running funds when they see things like laser eyes and all these other ridiculous memes, and then they have to present to a board and say, hey, though, Bitcoin, we gotta get us some. Do you think there's some push and pull there?
Definitely. But The reality is we're all hodling and we're trying to preoccupy ourselves. So we're just fucking around. I mean, everybody's just having fun. And the best part of it is if you're an arrogant person and you come into and you're looking at this space from the outside and you're watching all these young kids, these millennials, and they're just having fun and they're getting fucking rich. I mean, nobody like my, I'm a boomer. I mean, not a boomer. I'm a X. I'm just, but most of my friends are boomers. I'm like right on the edge. And they don't know anything. I mean, if they see a 40% gain, 50% gain, they're like writing home about it. You know, they're ready to take profits. I mean, we're just occupying ourselves on Twitter, having fun, and the shit is just going crazy. But going back to, I think, what Nico was originally point was, couple things that came to my mind was, number one, it's the only viable alternative decentralized asset out there. It's a viable asset now. I mean, it's almost $1 trillion. It's been around for 12 years, and it's the only thing that's detached from the existing system. I mean, that is so fucking powerful. It's unbelievable. So you have to have at least some of it, you know? You don't have to be all in. I mean, Nico, you're a young guy. You're 26. I understand where you're coming from. You know, me, I came into this with existing assets. So I'm like balancing my way into it. But like going back to my original point, you know, why I'm so bullish is like every day I take home a paycheck or every week I take home a paycheck, I know what I have excess. Where am I parking it? I mean, it's this asset. I mean, I need more exposure to an asset that nobody else can fuck with. And then the other thing that's really crazy about this asset is the way the government treats it as property, and we have to pay capital gains on it. I mean, that's got to make you so fucking bullish that people just can't go, you know, a smart buyer just doesn't go in and out of this asset to pay the government on whatever he scalped. You know, why would you? And then there's no other assets that offer you a yield right now, pretty much.
It's everything's just contributing to hodling. It's basically the government's just saying like, hey, you know what the best thing for you to do is? Just hodl, buy and hodl.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Absolutely.
It's great. I love it. The other interesting thing on that same line of thought was, I think it was on Forbes this week, there's an article and there's a response on it for the government reporting on your, at least in the US, on your taxes. You don't have to report your buys. You only have to report if you've like actually made, you know, either sold or like earned. But you don't have to report if you just took dollars and purchased Bitcoin. So again, direct incentive to buy and hold, because you don't have to report that until there's a realized gain. You don't even have to check that you've purchased any. You don't answer yes to that question, which is fantastic. Actually, I think it was Corey from Swan that I saw him tweet it. So exciting. I don't know what the deal in Canada with that is. So I guess I'll let you guys know. I'll let you guys know when I'm taken in by the Gestapo. We'll find out. Guys, there are 170 people watching live. Smash that like button. Give this a share. We have one more reason to take us through why we're bullish. So we're going to toss it to Brandon. Dude, what has you feeling bullish this week?
Yeah. So if I could, I'd love to comment one more thing on Laser Eyes quick.
Yes. Yes. Dude. Okay.
So it's very clear what's happening here. Number one, it's tribal signaling 101. That's basically what it is. By putting on Laser Eyes, you accrue risk outside of the group. And by doing that, that gives you credibility inside the group. That's what it is. And it's also very fun. And we're all doing it. And we, you know, we had a hard bear market, so we can celebrate. And the Titanic's sinking and it's happening. And we're already in the life raft and we're putting our friends and we're just eating popcorn. We're not cheering on the fall of Rome. It's happening and we're already in the lifeboat. And so that's my thought on that. And to the people who get super butthurt about this, like Peter Brandt or even Raoul Paul doesn't get it. He's like, it's a financial asset. You're going to scare away the professional people. Well, you Raoul don't get Paul's, it.
He's always scared, man. Raoul Paul is so always scared. Don't scare him. Don't scare him. He's scary, guys.
And I actually like Raoul, and he rolls with the punches pretty well. He's shitcoining. He'll figure it out eventually. But I guess my point here is that he thinks it's just an asset, and we're supposed to play by the old stuffy rules of the previous time period. And that's just not true. Bitcoiners, the laser eye folks, they don't treat this like a simple investment. This is something much, much more. This is a political stance. This is saying we're sick and tired. The system's not working for us. Here's a better one. It'll be better for you too, right? So we embed a lot of our identities in this, a lot of it's a missionary thing. It's so much more. And so, yeah, I guess the previous world is gone and the mimetic world is in. So that's that. I don't know if anyone has any quick comments before I go into my point.
I did want to say something about Raoul Paul. I will say that I think deep down he may have a sense of humor about it, because I retweeted his rant on the laser eyes and I quote tweeted it and I said, "Have fun staying poor, you fucking normal eyed loser." And he liked it. So there's that. Anyways, dude, I'll toss it to you for your reason.
He will come around, right? He's just exploring, and he's got financial interests that are pulling different ways. Whatever. Enough for Alvall. Okay. The thing that makes me bullish right now is the fact that Bitcoin's gravity is so strong. It's pulling everyone into the fold. And this is not new. Every bull market, it causes this, right? And whether Satoshi did this on purpose or it was just an accidental thing that works really well, it's happening. And so there's two types of people that kind of excite me here. One, it pulls in the people that get super triggered by it. The people who just want it to go away. They never did their homework and now it's here staring them in the face and they're so annoyed. These are the fiat economists, the climate alarmists, the professors, people like that. And what it's doing is it's just exposing the fact that Bitcoin doesn't play into their rules, and you know, it exposes small minds and big egos. And so they write a little article about it, or they do a tweet storm, and then you know, 1,000 Bitcoiners pile on and tell them how wrong they are. And so the Streisand effect is good here, because although we can be kind of prickly, some of us also go above and beyond and give good answers, and a whole shitload of their followers read it and they go, huh, there's something here. And so they're playing into our game, which makes me feel very nice. That's right, Knut, we can't lose. And it's sport for us to take down these small minds. And the other thing here is that with, let's say, energy FUD, for example. Okay, it's becoming popular to FUD with energy. So what happens? A whole bunch of people respond in that decentralized organism way, in the anti-fragile way. And what happens? We go on the offensive and we get stronger. We build the FUD around it. We build our narratives around it. And the Bitcoin organism gets stronger. Now, the second type of people that is drawn in here, and this is what my actual point is, which is the intellectual dark web, which was a phrase I think New York Times might have coined it. I don't remember. But it's the guys like Jordan Peterson, Eric Weinstein, et cetera. And in the last week alone, we've orange-pilled Jordan Peterson, Lex Fridman, and Eric Weinstein. They've gone way deeper into the Bitcoin world. And I got to give a shout-out to the guys like Gigi, Alan Farrington, Breedlove, Vallis, Svetsky, Nick Carter. Their content alone is pulling in these extremely intellectual guys who should understand Bitcoin but haven't yet. And they're falling down the rabbit hole right now. And why this is important to me is not because of those individuals. It's because the type of individuals who like those guys are perfectly suited for Bitcoin, right? Jordan Peterson has the personal responsibility, get your shit together, clean your room. That's very aligned with Bitcoin. Lex and Eric are like intellectual, go against the grain. We got to fix the world. Culture's fucked. Like all that kind of stuff is all tied in. And so I think we're going to see if those guys be public, we're going to see a massive new wave of Bitcoiners that are practically already maximalists, if we want to use that term. And they're going to come up to speed extremely quick. And so, yeah, shout out to the orange pill dealers out there. The content creators are second to none. And there's honestly no way to stop it at this point. The amount of intellectual capital already in the space, and that the gravity's pulling in more and more and more. There's never been a dynamic like this in the history of time. And what are you going to do? Short that? Have fun staying poor.
I do agree. It's very interesting to see these people getting orange pilled. You know, Peterson, like from that perspective, it does line up. It does make sense with a lot of the stuff that he talks about personal responsibility, having your house in order before, you know, pointing fingers at others. I like that kind of ideology in and around Bitcoin because it's all about personal responsibility. What I was thinking is maybe we could go, you know, on top of people's thoughts around this. I'd love to hear everybody's who they'd love to see orange pilled, because I have one in mind that I want. It's got a Canadian slant. He's practically already a Bitcoiner and he pretty much looks exactly like Pierre Richard anyways, and they share the same first name. So I want to see Pierre Poilievre orange pilled. He always is in the House of Commons, and he's like a official opposition, I believe. He's always in the House of Commons, like shouting down people and asking, I need a number, do you know what numbers are, tell me the number, how much money did you spend, all that kind of stuff. And he points out how ridiculous it is that we printed so much money. He's always asking how much we're printing. He just has all the right questions. But he just hasn't. I honestly think he's a closet Bitcoiner. I think that might be the case, but he hasn't publicly said it yet. So anyways, to the orange pill dealers out there, keep on Pierre, because I think he would be an excellent addition to the Bitcoin crew. Phil, who do you have that you would love to see orange pilled, and anything that you want to add on to what Brandon said here?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't really to add on to what Brandon said would be kind of tough. So I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah, that was pretty good. That was pretty awesome. I didn't even think about that group of people that was, you know, like the Jordan Peterson types and stuff. Like, that's absolutely true. I mean, that is all, you know, like these people, the people that follow them, that, you know, as soon as they start to fall down the Bitcoin rabbit hole, they're like, oh my gosh, we finally have a way out. But okay, in terms of a person, I really never thought of this, but it would maybe, maybe have to be, I don't know. I really don't know.
I think it'd be interesting to get somebody from the opposite end of the spectrum, really orange pilled, and but then see them then work through. Cause I used to be like, my political ideologies have changed quite a bit since getting into Bitcoin, because I think Bitcoin is this, as we were talking about, it's this mecca of stability. That's because it represents truth in where the market is pointing and what people are actually valuing. And then that makes you kind of reconsider your entire worldview. So I'd love to see somebody just super far left. And I used to lean, I'd say at least socially left. And fiscally, I just had no idea what the fuck I was talking about. I was always terrible with money. Then I got into Bitcoin and totally changed me that way. But I've since shifted to, I'd say I feel more like centrist in certain respects, but I do lean more right than I used to. So yeah, I'd be interested to see somebody on the opposite side of the spectrum orange pilled. Before we get other people's thoughts on this, I just wanted to let you guys know that Satoshi himself has popped in, and he does indeed approve this stream, as he stated in the chat. So thank you, Satoshi. Good to see you're alive and well. Thank you for joining the stream and giving your seal of approval. But Fartface, if you want to tag on anything to what Brandon said, and I'm interested to hear who you'd like to see orange pilled.
From a selfish position, I don't want to see anybody high profile orange pilled yet. Okay. In a perfect world, I want to stack a 2000 sats or better till I retire. Okay. You know, until I'm not making any more money. So really, I don't want to see anybody orange pilled. I think the best part of Bitcoin, in my opinion, is watching people come to the realization themselves. And I think any arrogant person at this point, because it's still very, very early, like any arrogant personality that comes forward and embraces it, they could steer the conversation someplace. You know, we've seen that. So I really don't, not looking for, I mean, there's some traditional investors I really look up to. I could drop their names, and hopefully someday, you know, I would love to see them validate what I'm feeling, you know, but I'm not in no rush for it. Honest, no fucking rush. I'm still working, you know, so I let it happen just the way it's happening. It's beautiful to watch arrogant people fight it. I mean, that's the most enjoyment I've ever had. You know, personally, like I know people who think they're the smartest people in the room personally have told me, you're basically told me, you know, in one way or another that I'm an idiot, you know, that whatever. I love seeing them quiet, and I love seeing people, you know, high profile people not being able to really voice an opinion on it because they're actually figuring it out as we did. And I think that's beautiful.
It's true. It is interesting to see people just as they're making those connections. And I think it's funny because the high profile people that do kind of get the first inklings of it are also the ones that we get to see very publicly go through their shitcoin phase, which is like, it's so painful to watch. Like it's, you know, again, you see them make the connect. Well, I mean, Rob Paul, there's your perfect example. You know, everybody's like, yes, he gets Bitcoin.
I got nothing against Rob Paul. I mean, he's a trader. He's selling an investment service on YouTube. So he's going to do what he's going to do. But have there been any like really humble celebrities that have come into this humble? I think there have been. I just can't recollect a couple.
I'd say Russell O'Kong has done pretty well.
Very, you know, there you go.
Yeah. Nico, thoughts? Anybody you'd like to see orange pilled? Anything you want to add to what Brandon said?
Peter Schiff. I want him to do a full-fledged apology on Twitter. I want him to just be like, listen, guys, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I sold all my gold. My gold business is gone. I'm 100% into Bitcoin. If I had a wish, that would be it. But that's not going to happen. But it'd be hilarious if it did.
I think that is not going to happen, but I am bullish on Spencer Schiff. Yes. I can't wait. Yes. I can't wait to see what becomes, you know, when Schiff Gold is inherited by Spencer and it becomes Schiff Sats. I think that's when we'll have really made it. It will be in a great day. So, absolutely. Yeah.
And to go back to Brandon's point about, you know, the essentially the gravity, the black hole that is Bitcoin, I think he's absolutely right. And it look, compared to 2017, everything's moving now. You know, like 2017 was retail. It was retail that pushed it. Now it's the big bucks, right? And man, it's the judicial arbitrage that we're going to see, the propaganda that we're going to see, it's just going to keep on escalating, and it's going to be great to see, man, especially from the safety buoy that is Bitcoin. So, you know, it's going to be a hell of a ride for sure.
100%. Well, I think that's a great way to wrap this thing up. I want to personally thank all of you guys for being here, and everybody watching, everybody that's been in the chat. Thank you guys for being here. I got to give one more shout out to Howard for dropping that super chat. That's insane, dude. But thank you very much. I'll try to pay it forward to some other great Bitcoiners. Really quick, we'll go down the line. If you guys can just let people know once again who you are, where they can find you, that would be fantastic. Let's start with Phil, aka Coin Icarus. Go ahead.
I'm at Coin Icarus on Twitter and the co-host of Simply Bitcoin and the host of Fun with Bitcoin podcast.
Awesome. Let's jump to Farface, dude. Where can people find you? Let them know.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Farface2000. I'm a nobody, but if you want to talk to me, my messages are open, man. Love to talk Bitcoin with anybody.
Awesome. Nico, take it away.
First off, man, thank you so much for the invite. I absolutely love this show. This is one of the best Bitcoin YouTube shows. Top one.
top one and two. You and Max Kaiser, you guys switch depending on the
Swan
day.
Swan Lounge. I gotta give shout out to Swan Lounge.
Swan Lounge definitely up there as well. But yeah, man, you could find me at BitVault7 on Twitter, and I do a daily YouTube show with Coin Icarus. It's super fun. It's pretty cool. It's a smaller show, you know. It doesn't have the bravado that I guess BTC Sessions has for life. No, I don't know. I couldn't think of a word, but you could also find more about me at bitvault.com. And if you want to find out more about mining, or if you're interested in mining yourself, definitely go check out that website. And once again, Ben, awesome show.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. I'll also say, just to tag on to yours, everybody watching right now, go over, search Simply Bitcoin on YouTube and hit subscribe, and follow these dudes on Twitter. I'll jump to Brandon in a second, but all of these guys, their Twitter profiles are down below, but subscribe to Simply Bitcoin. Honestly, it's like such a sweet little like condensed, like it's your shot of Bitcoin every day. So check it out. I've been a guest on there a couple times. Let's jump to Brandon, dude. Last person, let people know where they can find you.
Yeah. And if I can, I'd love to share my orange pill preference, which
yes.
I think, I agree with Ben here. I would choose someone from the left, young, climate focused, populist left, whatever you want to call that. And the reason is we could use some cover fire there. I want the young people to jump into Bitcoin now, way before the bankers do, because the wealth transfer is coming and the young people are really far behind right now. And so I'd like to see the game board tilt back towards the young people. This could be either Greta or, oh, there you go, Newt. I was going to say either Greta or AOC. They both sort of represent that movement in a way. Either one of those banging on the drums should be great to see. In terms of where you can find me, Twitter is the easiest, B Quiddum, B and then my last name, and BrandonQuiddum.com is where I put my writings. And for work stuff, I do marketing for Swan. We're going at an absolutely outrageous pace. It's very fun right now. And if you want to start stacking with Swan, you can go to SwanBitcoin.com/Quiddum and you get $10 in free Bitcoin to sign up. We have low fees. Can auto DCA, auto withdrawal. We cover your fee to cold storage. We're trying to be the best place for to buy Bitcoin in the US. Thanks for having me, Ben. This was an awesome show. Good hanging with you awesome. Guys.
I love it. There would be nothing greater than seeing a tweet from AOC telling Greta Thunberg to have fun staying poor. Holy shit. Could you imagine? Oh man, I love it. Guys, thank you so much for being on. I'm going to cut your audio and video, but again, everybody watching, be sure to go check these guys out on Twitter, subscribe, all of that. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Always makes my week. End of the week is fantastic when I have you guys all join in with the chat here. So much fun. Awesome guests. Guys, please smash that like button if you haven't already, but just smash it again. Who cares? Well, twice, because it'll cancel your smash. Give this a share. Subscribe if you haven't already. We do this every week, and I have other shows as well. Tons of tutorials, news, all that kind of stuff. Make sure you're subscribed and notifications are on. If you want to help the show in another way, you can hit up the previously mentioned sponsors down below. That was Ledin, that was BitRefill, that was Kobo, and that was PrivacyPros.io. All of that down below. And if you really liked what you saw, you can always hit me up with a Lightning Network tip at my tippin.me page. That is tippin.me/@BTC Sessions. With that, I'm out. Have yourselves a wonderful day, a wonderful evening, wherever you may be. And I'll see you next time for your daily session. See you guys.
HODL by Bitcoin.